The pandemic changed the way we think about illness, whether we go into a full-blown panic if a coworker sneezes or have developed a fear of leaving the house. And while a lot of us are able to return to the world in this phase of COVID easily enough, a lot of people can't. Our next guest says the diagnosis of health-specific anxiety has jumped during the pandemic. Dr. Gina Tutch is a clinical psychologist with the University of Arizona's College of Medicine who treats people with the disorder. And she told me many of her patients are trying to navigate the fine line between what's reasonable to protect their health and what's not. I sat down with her in our studios recently to talk more about it, beginning with a definition. We are all familiar with anxiety, but what does health-specific anxiety look like today?
So health anxiety actually has a new name in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Psychologists and Psychiatrists, and it's called illness anxiety disorder. So if people were to Google it, they might find even the word hypochondriasis. But it is really something different, and that's why it's been kind of reclassified and renamed. So it's really the anxiety about having a health issue, even if a person isn't diagnosed with a health issue.
So I am imagining this is something that became more prevalent during the pandemic and since we've been watching this play out for, what, 4 years now?
Exactly, yes. People of all ages are watching the news, are listening to their parents and grandparents and people talking about it. So it's just been on our radar for so long since COVID started, obviously, yeah. And really has heightened people's anxiety.
That makes sense, right? Tell us a little bit about some of the kinds of clients you see, like the kinds of people who come in and need help with this. This is, I'm sure, more widespread than people who are officially diagnosed with it, but right. What does it look like in your world?
Well, it's all ages. People have anxiety as children. There are actually some risk groups. I see some healthcare workers who had some very legitimate healthcare concerns. And, of course, kids, because they're hearing and not able to discern what's true and false, what's oftentimes what's magnified from their friends, from their parents. Another, of course, risk factor are people who are immunocompromised. Mm. So I've seen some patients who have serious illnesses, sometimes rare illnesses, and cancer, of course. Anyone who has a threat of having a more serious reaction, possibly even a fatal outcome, when they're immunocompromised and exposed to an unknown virus.
So are you seeing these people sort of overcompensate? Is it like trying to discern the line between what's a reasonable accommodation to make in your life and what's really not reasonable?
So much so. Mm-hmm. And there's actually two kinds of health anxiety disorder. One is help-seeking, or really looking for answers to medical, you know, symptoms and concerns. And the other is really care avoidant. So some people are minimizing and not wanting to go to a doctor, whether it's concerns that they're going to find something that's very dangerous or unable to treat. Or again, they may be just avoidant because they've been told so many times things are in their head. This is where sometimes the medical world can not look at the seriousness of people's concerns because they can't find a medical explanation. So I think some people overcompensate when they don't feel listened to, or again, they don't seek care because they don't expect to get care. Mm-hmm. And some people are just really trying to exercise their own agency in terms of, I feel like I can do something about not getting that illness or avoiding crowds so that they can feel safer.
So are you seeing people right now, essentially, as we're coming out of this pandemic in many ways for lots of people who are vaccinated and able to reenter the world, you're seeing people have a lot of trouble reentering the world, it
sounds
like.
Yes, because I think just like when it started, there's a lot of unknown still. And a lot of times we'll see that people aren't wearing masks at all, even at really kind of high crowd situations, and people are kind of done with COVID, even though it's not done. And so their re-entry into the old world can't be the same as it was before they have had this experience, right?
Yeah. So how do you help them cope with it? Because people do have to live in the world in some capacity, right?
Right. Really, what we can do is to work on our immune system. So what helps our immune system? I know we wash our hands all the time. We can walk, we can exercise, we can eat well. We can definitely try to reduce our stress in other areas. So I think really what we can focus on are those things that we have some ability to change and do some experiments about getting out in the world. I think with health anxiety, as well as other kinds of anxiety, we don't even believe our own thoughts that we will be safe, because anxiety is really kind of a threat alert. So why would we do something rationally that would make us unsafe?
Hmm.
We have to look at areas including our physiology, our nervous system, and how activated we get, and how we can calm that. We have to look at those thoughts and try to make them really much more rational than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the behaviors that we are doing that really might not keep us safe, even though we think that they keep us safe.
Hmm. So that's interesting, right? Because as people sort of have to adapt to the, you know, very kind of quickly changing COVID landscape that we've seen in the last year or so here as things have reopened, I'm guessing, like, you've seen a lot of people say, I can't ever do this.
Right.
I wonder, like, how does identity play into this? COVID became so political, right? COVID became so about, like, a lot of people feeling righteous on one side or righteous on the other.
Right.
Does that play into this conversation?
So much so. And I actually have the permission from a client I talked to this morning about identity. Because if you identify with an illness or getting ill or being sick, that is really going to dominate your life.
Hmm.
And making it's a critical mental shift to think about, well, what can I control and what can I do? What am I able to do versus what am I going to be disabled from doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, having that kind of wisdom around what can I control? What makes quality in my life, you know, that the illness doesn't have to interfere with?
Hmm. Do you see a lot of people feeling like they're being very judged at this moment, people who are dealing with this and need to take their time to kind of do the things that everyone else is doing?
I think that's one aspect. But there's another thing I'd like to point out that, you know, families and friends might be alert to.
Hmm.
Because a lot of times when you have health anxiety, you're seeking reassurance, reassurance that you're safe, reassurance that avoiding or not doing this thing or doing that thing is actually a good idea. And we, as family members and friends, oftentimes want to help. And so we offer assurance that we can't really offer.
Hmm.
So I think part of what families can do is be honest and say, you know, we don't know the facts. We don't know how hard this is for you to kind of come back into the world. No judgment. People need their own time. And we just can try to help them manage the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking a little bit about existential anxiety. And we all in our life, in living, right, existence, we have things that cause anxiety. And then we have layers on top of that when we have any other kind of anxiety or health anxiety. And when we feel helpless, there's not a lot that we can do that we're sure is going to keep us safe.
Hmm.
We believe it might keep us safe. And avoidance is one of those things. But if we live that way, then we cut out a lot of our existence.
Right. So there's this question of sort of how much risk is worth taking. And also, if I don't take any risk, what else am I losing?
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. And again, it's a gamble, right? We have to take that bet based on kind of who we are.
Mm.
I hope people will be gentle with people who are really suffering from health anxiety, because I don't think people realize how much people hurt living with health anxiety.
Yeah. All right. That is Dr. Gina Touch, Behavioral Sciences Curricular Theme Director for the University of Arizona's College of Medicine here in Phoenix, a clinical psychologist who treats people with health anxiety. Dr. Touch, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for your expertise on this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.